and let them have dominion.
The kingdom of God is within people. It's the advancement of the people that is advancement
because
of the kingdom.
Because faith must be backed by
the assignment of this ministry is found from that verse.
You're onto a word encounter as Pastor David Ogbeli ministers God's word to you with simplicity and power. God bless you.
He created them to control the earth, to control the circumstances on earth, just like God controls the heavenlies.
There are just some principles of wisdom I want to drop for us. It's called writing the last chapter of your life. I share this to show you how to close a year, because if I do this now, I will not be able to come back this direction. I have a tape on it. I'll just check to see if they can make that tape available for you, but I'm told that it's not here. I have a tape on it. We're discussing certain things relating to this during the Thanksgiving in Lagos. These are secrets that God has shown me over the years that have helped me to not only have victory, but to have sustained victory. Sustained victory. Writing the last chapter of your life. You can call it the last chapter. The last chapter. A book has two most powerful chapters in it. The first chapter and the last chapter, if that book is to be a powerful book. A movie is supposed to have two most powerful chapters, the beginning and the ending. A public speaking is supposed to have two most powerful areas, the introduction and the ending. How you introduce and how you end decides the whole thing. Here is the issue about life. Many a time, we start out with powerful beginnings. The first chapter of life is usually filled with a lot of miracles, divine interventions, things that cause people to rejoice, like when a child is born. People are happy, thanksgiving, they go for dedication, they do all that. But some of those children that they gave thanksgiving for have died as armed robbers. Some have died as prostitutes. Some perish without fulfilling destiny. The first chapter usually have that powerful entrance. But the last chapter is usually very turbulent. In movies, that's where you see the hero who starts out when you, towards the end, you see the situation where he almost goes. And some people who don't know how to write good stories will allow him to die, like Nigerian movies. They like to see people die. They like to see people crying. When God writes a story, it doesn't end with death. It ends with resurrection. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? When the devil writes a story, it doesn't matter how sweet it is in the beginning. It ends with sadness. It ends with depression. When you watch a movie that ends leaving you depressed, Satan wrote the story. When you watch a movie that ends leaving you confused, the devil wrote it. If he didn't write the full story, he wrote the last chapter of it. The devil does not care how you start your life. He doesn't care how powerful the beginning is. His interest is always to put his pen in the last chapters of your life. That's why the moment you enter September, the year gets extremely turbulent. And some people who don't know how to close a year lose their life when the year is about to end. Let me give you an example, just a simple example, so you see. If you notice the Bible, Genesis, and God created the heavens and the earth. The Spirit of God moved upon the world. That's how the first chapters are. Powerful entrance, move of God, powerful things happening. Go to Revelation. It is Battle of Armageddon. It is and the Antichrist. It is and Lucifer. But because God was involved in history, involved in the writing of the thing, the last chapter of the Bible is, I saw a new heaven and a new what? That's resurrection. Because just before that statement was made, the Bible said the whole heaven and earth was destroyed. And I saw a great white throne. And I saw the dead rising to go and face judgment. I know there are some of you here who write novels, who write movies, who write scripts, who write poems. Take note. It's either you are the devil's advocate or you are God's scribe. Be careful how the stories you tell end. Be careful. It doesn't matter what you have done. Do you know what is amazing about this last chapter? If you let the devil write it, that few sentences he closes with erases all the good things you have done. I'll give you a simple example. The man called Judas, there is nothing wrong with his name. That name means Judah. And the meaning of the name is praise. But suggest to any of you now to give it to your children, you will say to fear. Judas. But we have Pastor Jude here. That his name is Judas. He doesn't know because they call him Jude. You see some other people who answered Judah, Ben Judah. That is Judas. Judah. Judas is simply another way of saying Judah. For example, Elias in the Bible is another way of saying Elijah. The name has nothing wrong with him. There's nothing wrong with the name. The man started well. When Jesus gave them power against unclean spirits, he was there. He collected power. He went out, healed the sick, cast that devil. When they were picking out of multitude of disciples, they needed 12 to become apostles. He was one of those who made it College of Cardinals. He was a promising pope. When Jesus was going to go to elect the next pope, he was one of those who were supposed to contend for election. To be the first pope of the church, universal. He had some other advantages over the other ones because all the other ones came from the southern kingdom, what you call Galilee. Beside the water where Jesus had the headquarters of his ministry. He was the only one that came from the northern kingdom with Jesus. Jesus was from Judah or Judea, in Bethlehem. Judas was from there. The only one who was his relative. He was also the one in charge of money. You know, who controls money controls a lot of power. So a guy among the College of Cardinal is a very important person. Because if you don't treat him well, Kule won't get to your direction. No wonder they were arresting Peter for not paying tax. I'm not sure he's Judas' good friend. It started well. But whenever you mention Judas today, nobody remembers the miracles. Nobody remembers the healings, the deliverance. Nobody remembers the cities of Israel he took. What do you remember? Because Judas' last chapter was written by Satan. When the Bible said, and Satan entered him and he betrayed his master. You can start well today and end with betrayal. Your end will be doomed. You can start well today and end with backsliding. Your end will be doomed. The scripture did not say, whosoever gives his life to Christ shall be saved. It's, you hear that. You say, it is he that endures to the end. Will you keep your faith till the end? So let me give you 7 areas you need to write last chapters. You have to be careful to make sure your last chapters are written by God, not by Satan. Because the devil is waiting at that place. The first, it's the last chapter of your faith, your Christian faith, that you are talking in tongues now. I have seen people like that. Next time, they are now visiting native doctors. There is a bishop. God used this man so mightily under the Hosas ministry. He bishop. Should I call his name? He was one of the Hosas. If I call, you know who I'm talking about. And those of them who were up in the faith in those days, we know. The man was so used in the miraculous. There were two of them that were exceptional. The kind of anointing they carried, that if you're even looking at Papa, who will replace him, you'll be thinking of two of them. One was from the Soko area, the Warri side, who ended up in prison, life jail. He came out just either the year or the year after the house died. The other one was the one that died of HIV. Church of God mission. They were powerful like Judas, but Satan wrote their last chapter. You see? The devil makes attempts at the beginning chapter, so usually he is knocked out. So do you know what he does? That old serpent will go back and wait for revelation. When you come to that, your revelation. He wages the second and final war. And that war is usually more deadly because at the beginning, people are sensitive. People are in prayer. People are seeking God. People are humble. People are teachable. So they normally defeat him at the beginning. But at the last chapter, many a time, people are already successful. Pride is in their head now. People at this time are becoming careless. People are no more as sensitive as they used to be. People don't follow. They are not humble like they used to be. They are no more broken. That's when Satan captures them cheap. If a pastor in this ministry, listen very carefully. I'm talking prophetic parables. For those of you who have ear to hear, that's why we have cleared everybody's ear now. Hear very well. Hear very well. The Acts of Apostles is still being written. It's still being written. If you look at that book, Reverend Oyeks, it began with prayer. First of all, it began with resurrection. And he appeared to them. And, you know, spend 40 days sharing with the mysteries of the kingdom. Then they moved to upper room and were there in 10 days prayer. And then the Holy Ghost came. That's how Acts of Apostles began. That's how Dominion City began. This whole thing was born out of prayer. That's Acts. So by the time the Holy Ghost fell, fire fell everywhere, things began to happen. Before we knew it, 3,000 saved. Before we knew it, cripples were walking. Before we knew it, we were filling stadium. Before we knew it, money starts coming. People start riding jeep. But it is what takes you to the top that keeps you on top. The day you neglect it, it humiliates you from the top. For me, the most important meeting of the year is prophetic conference, where I come to lay on the floor to become nothing before God. It's my most important meeting, where God washes my eye. Because just because you had a good year last year doesn't mean you can have it. You're going to have a new one if you don't take care of certain things. I told one of my sons, I said, if you really want to know who I am, don't just study what I preach. Study my prayer. In my prayer, you will really see the man that preaches. If you don't know the man that prays, you won't know the one that preaches. I said, study me when I worship, when I go to stand in my office as a priest. You will know who I am. Because that's the only place where I'm naked. All failures in life are first failures in the prayer closet. It happens in the secret. After a while, it shows up in the open. All victories in life are first victories that are won on the knees. Do you know when Jesus won the victory on the last chapter, the cross? It was at Gethsemane. When he was beginning, Satan went to the wilderness. But you know, wilderness prayer, fasting, 40 days, he defeated Satan. Holy Ghost came on him and River Jordan. He defeated Satan just like the early apostles did. He asked the apostles. Most people defeat Satan at the first round. But here is what that serpent knows. He will go and wait for you at the book of the Revelation. He will leave you to have a great, you'll be making impact, running up and down. He will leave you. This thing I'm sharing with you has saved my life again and again and has kept me on the path of righteousness. That's why it doesn't matter if they leave us for another 1,000 years, I'll still be this me. I know where I'm changing. The only change I'm going to be is to be like Christ. That's the only change. I'm going to keep pressing toward any other thing. You can give me all the millions in the world, it doesn't change anything. Ask Pastor Sarah, every time I talk with her, I tell her, I'm not a man for the city. I say, I only stay in this house because of you and these children. I'm not a person. I'm designed for the bush. I'm a prophet. I need where antennas can receive signal. My type live in caves and mountains. I said, that's where I feel very comfortable. When I'm lying on the floor in my house, that's where I pray. I don't pray on bed. What is all those things? These are distractions, so-called useless, whatever people have created that are distracting human beings. So that's not, when you find me on the floor, when you find me on sand, when you find me sitting on a tree, when you find me sitting on a rock, that's when, yeah, that's what India did for me. So Jesus defeated him, temptation in the wilderness. He went to fast. Defeated Satan. Guess what? Satan now waited him at the last chapter. When he says it's time, the last season, Satan came. He started with Judas. Then followed into Gethsemane. The man that all his life said, I have never argued with my father. I have never. The first time he found that something in him wanted to say no. Something wanted to say no. But he did certain things that all of us need to learn. The highest exam is the one that gives you your graduation and your certificate. It's not the entrance exam. Nobody's crowned for starting the race. But every time people start a race, there is an ovation. Sometimes they shoot a gun and then people take off. There are people are screaming, but then after a while, everywhere becomes quiet. Then there is tension. You know what it is? It is not starting. Because you see people who started tumbling. If it's a car race, you see some of them knocking, side tumbling on the roadside. Do you know why I gave my life to Christ at the age of 12? I have seen all those things that tumble people while I'm still here. And while I will still be here, even when some of the people that preach with me are gone. It's this thing. When you were small in your own eyes, I made you king. Stay small in your own eyes, and you become king of kings. You see one of those keys? Humility. Humility. Learn it of me. Jesus taught us, I'm meek and lowly in the heart, and you will find rest for your soul. One of the things he taught me is, after every 7 years, dismantle everything. Become nothing. Make yourself of no reputation. Go back as if you are starting today. And you will have promotions that never end. That's what he told me. He said, because before every major fall, there's pride. It's in your Bible. That before people tumble down, there's haughtiness. And he said, haughtiness comes with power. It comes with success. It comes with taking new territories. It comes with So he said, every 7 years, dismantle everything. Push everything you have accomplished. Like, I just started ministry all over again last year. All over again. I threw all the 30 years. Because we are not the one that will judge ourselves. Let's wait till the day the judge will open his books. If you sit here and you are awarding yourself success because human beings are praising you and all that, you live in a fool's paradise. I went to some people who even respect me. Some, I said, I want mentorship. There's one I called. I said, I need fresh mentorship. I'm starting ministry all over again. He fell into his seat. It took him 15 minutes to get up. And I was looking at him. Then when he got up, he said, I'm the one that need mentorship for you. I said, no, I know what I'm doing. Because for you to be here, there's something you know here. And you know what? I don't go to everybody for mentorship either, because they are bad guys in ministry. You don't go to a Saul to mentor you. But God can use a Saul to teach you some things, especially what not to do. But if you stay too much with Saul, though you are Jonathan, you die with him. You die with him. There are people you go to, you become a mighty man. There are people you go to, you destroy your own future. What is it? Missions, missions. I'm looking for people who have been in the hottest front of the battle. Where Christ is facing the toughest battles to see his kingdom cover the remaining part of the globe. How to find them? How to find them? I asked him now, I will come for mission conference in his city and drag him there. He will go and drop me. I went to go and say, my friend, pay your gate fee and come and sit down. Pay your gate fee. You call me master. You see me sitting down here. You want to go, drop me. That's why you don't know where I get the treasure. Where we find the treasures. Have you been to mines before? Gold, mine, water. It's usually very funny places. But what I find, when I finish refining and bring it, the whole world is pursuing me, including the owners of the mine. Because usually I have a gift that is missing in most of those camps, which is refining. But many of them, like African nations, have. And they sit with it. It's like when I needed to learn tools of prophetic dominion. You need to see where I went to mine those secrets. The intercessory. I will come there, sit at the back with my notes. And every time they will. One time, news started getting to them. This is the man that is doing those crusades, that is doing this and that. He is sitting at the back there. They will come there, carry my Bible. You must come to the fire. I said, no, leave me here. I'm here as a student. But it's the one part they will say. Meanwhile, at the end of the day, they said the person that will give them the highest seed, that will do this to make sure this program holds again, is that guy. They will wonder, who is he? Leave me to learn this thing. Because that's what deceives a lot of pastors. You carry them, put them there, they start preaching what they don't know. Because you are successful as a doctor doesn't mean you are successful as a carpenter. There are fields of ministry. And I have known what God has said we are to do. And there are roadmaps on the journey. If you know where I found Professor Nivok, Ghana. I heard, because of course I'm trying to pursue Adelaide, this Ukraine thing, only to hear that somebody went to Ukraine for 4 years to download everything Adelaide has. I say, where is he? He say he's preaching in Ghana. He comes from US. He comes, he does this and he goes. I entered the next available flight, left everything I was there to go to Ghana. I sat there to hear him. Susanna, you tell me we are going to Ukraine. I say, leave this Ukraine to go. The Ukraine I need is here. The rest of Nigerians might not take you serious, but I have an eye to see what it is. It's like me. I'm like a Moses, a burning bush, to get the Joshuas ready to go. The generation that will take the promised land is not us that are bringing the Ten Commandments. It's the generation that will take that Ten Commandments and make it a value that they live by. They are the ones that the giants bow to. You see, at every time, God has, you know, what we call a foundation of fathers. Their job is usually not manifestation. Their job is to go into the ground and give a generation a foundation that they can stand on. Give them a foundation that will carry them. A lot of people can't pay that price because the requirements is tough. It's tough. It's like what Jesus Christ had done for us. That he was true. It was Peter and Co. that were Paul. But that generation can sit and be looking at me like this, and the whole thing passes, and they don't know. Until the day the masquerade is off, they start moving around like blind men. He used to preach in our church. I had the opportunity to really get this thing. You know, the testimony of the commotion that God is using to cause in our bodies, getting to us in Lagos on a weekly basis. You can imagine, they carried the woman that was dead into a service. Dead. Into a service where he was preaching. The woman rose, not only that she rose from the dead, now it's even one of the senior ministers in town that called me first though. He said, Bishop. He said, there's commotion in that year. I said, what kind of commotion? Are they having any problem? He said, no. The people have resurrected Acts of Apostles. Then do you know what he told me? That he's now sending his voice to go and get your tapes. He doesn't know how to just go there, you know. He doesn't want these small boys to disgrace him, that they might leave him at the back. So he sent his boys to be collecting tapes. Then there's one he says to come and watch what you are doing and bring him reports. I said, are you not afraid that in sending him that you might lose him over there? Is I had the fear, but I said, even if I lose him, he's still my boy. He will be giving me reports. I need to keep in touch with this guy. That means that in the season, when he was positioned to catch it, he collected it. He did. And nobody can take it from you. Okay, writing the last chapter of your life, number one, humility. Don't start with humility, end with humility. Then God will now make you, exalt you above. Don't start with humility and end with pride. Don't start with humility and end with rebellion. Don't start with humility and end with haughtiness. Lucifer was perfect in the day he was created, but he ended up with pride and fell and became Satan. A man that used to have a throne and walk among the stones of fire, now they've created hellfire for him. The prophet Samuel said to Saul, when you were small in your own eyes,
I made you king. He's talking the word of God. I made you king. He said, but now, you are now a big shot. You see, let people call you big shot, but in your own eyes, call yourself God's small boy. A priest must clothe himself with humility. It's the garment we wear. The other one is praise. You don't come to God talking. And, you know, when you come to God, when you go to the devil, you can do whatever you like. When you come to God, you come with thanksgiving. You come with praise. You come with... That's how his gates opens. If not, they will lock you outside. You enter his courts with thanksgiving in your heart. You enter his gates with praise. This is priestly ministry. Then any intercession, any prayer, any other thing you want to do, he will hear it. And when you come out of his presence, you stretch your hands, the blessing will fall on people like rainfall. Writing the last chapter of your life. Acts of Apostles, chapter 1, began with Holy Ghost, prayer, resurrection. By the time you get to chapter 2, verse 1, he said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I want to show you the last chapter of Acts. It's called chapter 28. The last two chapters, with chapter 27, if you want to start with chapter 27, was shipwreck. Paul the apostle, told by God, you have to get to Rome. The final missionary journey of his life, the journey he will make, he will not return back like the other ones. That last journey, like when Jesus went to Jerusalem riding on that donkey, that was it. That last journey, shipwreck, and the devil wanted to bury the apostle in the middle of the sea. Apostle that have shaken nation. He so shook nation that there was a time the people brought sacrifice, animals to sacrifice to him. They said the gods have come down to us in human form. That's how much God used the man. One time, the record said that the people said, these men that turned the world upside down, they have come to us. It is. The same man, the devil wanted to bury him. What exactly happened here? The journey he was making, the final journey, God gave direction at a particular point. Don't take off. Wait. But in this case, Paul was not the one in charge. The captains of the ship and all that ignored his counsel. Was this one telling us not to go? When we can use our binoculars and the equipment, we've been in the business of sailing for how many years? Everything is showing fair weather. So they followed their sight and ignored the direction of the Holy Ghost and took off. And that was it. You see, when you are starting, you are sensitive to inquire of God. You are sensitive to hear from God, to get direction. If you want to end well, never ignore divine direction. Many a time is the difference between death and life. Write down what I'm saying. Those who start well and end well, keep their ear bent. When the word of God is being preached, they tremble at the word of God. When they go in privacy to talk with the Holy Spirit, they position themselves that the Holy Spirit can still guide them. What causes people to end the last chapter in a terrible way is that they start becoming wise in their own conceit. The Bible said, in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Be not wise in your own conceit. They graduate from divine intelligence to sense knowledge, which is not graduation. It's like a downward trend. So what happens is that they play into landmines that the devil has laid and march on it and it blows off their feet. When anything is coming to a close, I'm more sensitive to what God is saying than even when we started. Now, when neither sun nor star, verse 20, appeared for many days, I'm reading chapter 37 from verse 20. 14 days they did not see sunlight. They were in the middle of the tempest. And no small tempest beat on us. All hope that we will be saved was finally given up. All hope was lost that anybody will be saved. But after long abstinence, that's fasting from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me, not to have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. You should have listened to me." Put in another way, you should have listened to the Holy Ghost. You should have listened. But even in the midst of disobedience, they survived it and ended up with a note of victory. Perfect, that's finishing. A testimony that was finished with the finger of God. God left his signature on the last chapter of Acts. I have never seen a book written by God that ended with a bad story. Never. 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 In chapter 28, these men survived the storm and they landed in an island called Malta. I want you to see this last chapter business. See how Satan operates. They landed in an island called Malta. And the people came and saw how they came out of the sea, survived this thing, and they were very happy they received them. But it was so cold that night, where you have not seen sunlight for 2 weeks. The cold was so much, it was winter, that Paul and his friends set up fire. They gathered sticks, set up fire to warm themselves. About the time they set the fire, a viper came out of the fire and beat Paul. He didn't see any other person in that place. He didn't see the soldiers, those Roman people. It was the apostle. And it was not ordinary snake, a viper. A viper is one they call in Nigeria or Igbo land, Echeteka. Tomorrow is too far. According to Acts chapter 28, all that wonderful testimony changed. The people said, he must be a wicked man. Maybe I should read a little of it. You have testimonies. I want you to watch your... have good testimonies. Verse 4. When the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, that is the viper. In verse 3, when Paul has gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. So when the natives saw the creature hanging on his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow him to live." Well, because when it comes to the public, they are governed by perception. They don't know what the truth is. "Oh, Pastor David is a great man of God." They just hear one thing, "Pastor David caught in cocaine." They don't care, did it happen? We have always known. There must be something. Every time they'll be pulling crap. I knew there must have been something behind this whole thing. Did you see it? You hear other people. Why can't you hear yourself? Eli, Makatani. Oh, you are calling Elijah to save you. Okay. I thought you are the one raising other people from the dead. Come down from the cross now. The same public. The devil's intention is that this is how the man will end. Let's see. Tomorrow again, you come back to my territory to heal the sick and cause trouble for me. If you are harassing Satan,
Remember my voice today, what the Holy Ghost is telling you today. You have to watch out for him when you are the last season. You have to watch out for him. I'm giving you with assurance. He has no faith. If you like, I can take it from Genesis to Revelation. There is not one person. He will show up. Because he doesn't take first defeat. He believes that he will get back. He will go and wait. And the devil can have patience. He can. No problem. Say you are in your hot season, be flowing. You'll be reading the thermometer and be watching. How you begin the year and how you end it matters. I think I was listing for you 7 areas where you need to watch about writing the last chapter. Is that not true? And I mentioned the last chapter of your faith, he that endures to the end. I think we need to mention the other one. Second one is the last chapter of your life, how you are going to die, how you are going to end. Because it's not just living now and attending church and dying and going to hell. That you die in the faith. That you die in Christ. That you die. I've chosen. There are only 2 ways I'm going to go. And I have a choice. It's either I die like my fathers, Abraham and Co. Finish my job. Just sleep in peace. The other option Jesus gave is I die a martyr's death. Even that one, I have a choice. You can't come and take me. But like Jesus, I have power to lay down my life. I also have power to take it up. So, in the Bible, you find that the apostles were honored. They found it as an honor. They finished their assignment. It's just how to go. Accident, you won't find me there. Poison, you won't find me there. Sickness, you will not find me there. That is my own covenant with God. Either I will even go, I will speak all the parables I need to speak, share it with the right people I should share it, and leave that place, and the next thing they hear, simple. I'll preach my own sermon with my own mouth, my own funeral. And when I'm dead, they'll be playing the tape. See the kind of things he was saying. No, we didn't get it. Oh, yes. Nobody preached for Jesus. He preached all the things for himself. Son of Man is going. They will arrest him. This is what they will do. He laid down his life. At Gethsemane, he sorted out that thing and said, Father, if this is your will, I'm ready. And he went and faced it. How you die. How you close the last chapter of your life. That is very important. And because you don't even know the day is coming, you have to be careful how you live. Number 3, the last chapter of your marriage. Oh, wedding, taking oath in the altar, crying. It's not enough. Oh. Will you stay married till death do you part? It's the issue. Because there are many waters of marriage when they start coming now. Without marriage, stay till the finishing line. Without marriage, last. If you will, you need to listen to what we are teaching today. Number 4, the last chapter of your career. Mm-hmm. Driving car today, tomorrow you are trekking. We don't want that kind of story. The Bible said the path of a righteous man is like a shining light that shines what? Brighter and brighter until that perfect day. That means where you are now is the smallest you will ever be for the rest of your life. But there are principles that guarantee that. It's those principles that we need to find out. Because the other people you see who used to be rich, who are now broke, who used to live in duplex, who have been driven out by landlord, who used to have property, who all the properties are sold.
Number five.
The last chapter of your health. I know many of you are young people now living healthy. Will you remain healthy at 50, at 60? Something happened. They ordered for 30,000 breast implants to be replaced in Europe, in France actually. A company makes that, and a lot of ladies have taken it, and they have decorated themselves fine babes. They have boobs. Now, government is paying to have all those things removed because of the danger of cancer. And the company, they said, made some mistakes. And now, that is just in France where the thing is being made. They said, among the nations where they've shifted it, over 300,000 women have put in that. So, you see, when you prescribe something for me, it is the fountain of youth. It makes people younger. The first question I ask is, how many people have you tested it on? They tell me, it's a new whatever, want to test it with you. I say, wait. It's just that I have another field of calling. But if I were to be in the field of certain field, when I'm going, I can ask for my body. You can use it for cadaver. The reason is because I already have a finished house waiting for me. Completed new house. And they don't need to borrow any building material from this one to make it. It has been finished. Scripture said that this, when you put up this in your earthly body, that the new house that you are to take on is already finished. It's a house that human beings didn't make, and they didn't take something from the soil to make that one. You see, if God has to get something for your body before he can give you a resurrection body, these ones, they're burnt to ashes. These souls, they were burnt in plane crash. They are in trouble. Some fire burnt, they have burnt everything. Then all believers should go and make sure that you sign some deal. Once you die, they should embalm you and keep you as a mummy, Egyptian mummy. And you'll be there waiting for resurrection day. Because if anything gets missing, even your eye, you will have resurrection without eye. Jesus does not need this your decaying thing to give you your new garment that is coming from above. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? But if you have anything left, the spiritual equation that will take place, that they will consume it like a chemical reaction. Mortality will be swallowed by immortality. So I can donate for cadaver, donate the cadaver for science experiments, so they can save more people. But I'm a priest. God needs this body now. So this part of my job in keeping my body sanctified, I don't expose it to experimentation. It's a temple. But when I find that something has been established, is an established truth, is something that is useful, maybe it helps you reduce wrinkle, or you can, you know, whatever, there's nothing wrong with that. Because we are still pushing the boundaries of knowledge forward, and we're still experimenting and going. How will your last chapter end? So some of those ladies have taken the company to court. They say, because even if you pay us back our money, don't you know that once we remove this thing, that everywhere is now flat? It's now like old women's stuff. So you see, starting something is one thing. You have to always check. You must consider in the beginning what matters at the end. It's not just that somebody is flashing something. Check where that thing will lead. So you know if the path you're about to tread is a path of life or path of destruction. Meanwhile, the other ladies who are using natural stuff to help get their system to stand back after childbirth
have things that have no side effects. You see some of them rejoicing and coming on TV to now talk.
Last part of your health.
That's why there are things you need to stop eating now. All this excessive drinking of Coke. Because it's not that you're young now. You are still 25, 28, 30. And you are breaking all the laws of health. You think you are getting away. But those things are being stored in your account. Waiting for your 40s and 50s. Some are waiting for the 60s. You don't exercise. You think you are getting away. No, my friend. You eat all the junks. You won't get your what you are taking into your body balance.
How will it end? How will it end? If you follow the principles of divine health, you will remain healthy even in the evening stages of your life. The last stage of your ministry. Every one of you has a calling. Everyone. The starting point is not the issue. The ending. The last stage. Will you end a testimony? The last stage of your ministry. I think I said something about your career. There's a lot to say about that. And the seventh will be the last chapter of the year. Of the year. January. Fasting and prayer, so we kick off. What about December? What about the Mba month? The Jews, anytime the ending part starts in September, they go back to fasting and prayer. So they're able to navigate the whole year through. So New Year, people run entire church. 31st night. With New Year resolutions and promises. Sometimes the January does not end. They have all thrown all that one away. And how do you end the year? So let me give you some of the secrets. There's also another thing I always point to people. They should take note of. And I think I should point it out to you. Anytime there is a breakthrough. Anytime there is a miracle. Anytime there is a testimony. Anytime there is a salvation. Somebody gives his life to Christ. You know, there is that rejoicing in heaven over the angel, among the angels over one soul that was saved. I think the ultimate rejoicing is when the soul makes heaven. While he's still here, the real big rejoicing when we see the soul that was saved now saving others. Is that not it? It's established. It's now a disciple of men. But the ultimate is when you reach the finishing line. So here is the point. Whenever a miracle happens, become interested in how to keep it and how to sustain it. Whenever a breakthrough happens, become interested in making sure that that breakthrough is sustained. Because if you come to church and say, "Praise the Lord," everybody will shout. You say, you don't know what I sowed a seed. When Pastor Mike was preaching, when he talked about sacrifice, and I really believe God for a car. Brethren, see the key. I've got that car. And next week, the car has an accident. Is that? Next week, the same car has been stolen. Huh? At the beginning, because those are the two times Satan attacks. At the beginning and at the ending. At the beginning, be sensitive. Praise the Lord. We have been looking for this baby for 27 years. People can see it too. Can't you see my tummy? I'm now pregnant. When you finish giving that testimony, it's not enough. There are people who have given that testimony that did not deliver that baby. There are some that gave it and died while they are delivering the baby. There are some that gave it, the baby died before they would deliver it or while they are delivering it. When something is born of the Spirit,
at the initial stage. Did you see what they did with Jesus? They took him off to Egypt to hide him from Herod. Because this testimony is still at the infancy stage. The angels have announced in the heaven that the Savior is born in David's house. The wise men have seen it from afar. The shepherds have seen it. But you have to know that the evil powers too have seen it. The assassins of destiny have also seen it. Once a testimony is publicized, it's no more hidden. The devil too. That's why they tell you, I conceive, but you know, because the Joseph and the Mary don't know how to protect the miracle that God is putting in their hands. So let me give you some of the secrets about writing the last chapter. Anytime God does a miracle, anytime he puts a testimony in your hand, anytime he gives you a breakthrough, anytime, go before him and give thanksgiving. You give testimony to acknowledge him, but you seal your testimony with what? Thanksgiving. I see this a lot. I see it a lot. You know, you won't believe what happened, Pastor. I said, what happened? He said, God surprised me. I said, he always does. He said, you know that I'm the manager now. And that they to give me this promotion, they bypassed two people. One of them was my senior. I don't know what happened. Where they sacked him. And this one happened. And now I'm here. See my official car. See the new house they gave me. See my salary now. Like a guy that came, brought his seed. I laid hands on him. And the hand of God came on me. I spoke a word. He was earning 70,000 naira. I told him, say, see. There are major changes that are going to come. And it's not because of your long leg. It's just going to come. When he starts opening, follow it, it's God. And within a couple of weeks, woo, they carried him, moved him. He's earning 1 million naira a month with all kinds of things attached, plus all types of other benefits, plus all types of foreign trainings. If I mention him now, they know who he is. He went and gave testimony in church, called me, and thanked God for what happened. But one of you should find me the story of the 10 lepers. Find it. Let me show you people here how to give testimony. Please find it fast. Are there not 10 healed? Where are the 9? Is the question Jesus asked. Except this Samaritan that came back to give glory to God. Go to where he's asked the question, are there not 10 healed? Verse 17, go there, fast. Jesus answered and said, you know, one of them came back and gave thanks. He said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Go on. And there are not found any of those 9 that return to give glory to God except this stranger, a foreigner. Sometimes unbelievers do this better than people who sit in churches. Return to give glory to God. That's how you keep a miracle. It will reach its maturation stage. Now here is what I'm about to show you. That coming to give thanksgiving to God. See how it's done. Go to the beginning where he told them, go show yourself to the priest. I want them to see what he said. Did he say just go? If you show yourself in church, you show it so they can look at your face. The priest will be looking at your face. That God did a miracle for you. No, my friend. That's not what he said. Yes, yes, yes. Who is projecting this for me? At the beginning, 10 lepers met him and they cried. You know, he turned to them and said, go show yourself to the priest, and it is that "and" I want you to see. Offer the sacrifices prescribed by Moses. The thanksgiving offering is what he's talking about. There are 7 types of offering. Thanksgiving offering. I'm not talking about when the year is ending, when the church said we are doing thanksgiving. I'm not talking about that one. I'm talking about when a miracle occurred. When a breakthrough took place. You go there and say, Lord, I recognize you, what you did in my life. And when you finish, you know what God will do? Even if you had to spend all the angels in heaven to protect that thing, because now his name, he will spend all of them. Hey, who is this guy? Is he my guy that is doing this? When he saw them, the 10 lepers, he said, go show yourself unto the priest. Tell your friend, have you shown yourself to the priest this year? Or has your pastor been laboring in vain? Ask him. He has been feeding you since January to December. Tell him, preach. Have you gone to see the priest? And when you went, did you just go to say, Pastor, God bless you? You don't go to see the priest empty-handed. Go show yourself to the priest and offer for cleansing those things which Moses commanded. That is how for a testimony, what? That's how to give a testimony. For a testimony, what? Unto them. The doubting Thomas that didn't believe God will believe by force. Testimonies that cannot be aborted. This is how you do it. We're not through with this subject. Tell him, have you seen the priest this year? You have been drinking the breath of the priest. Tell him. And you have almost made the breath flat. You have to refuel the source of revelation knowledge. That's what you and PM did, though. You saved the life of the woman that looks after my head. That's what you did. Ending part of the year. Who will have envisaged? Ending part of the year. You want to leave me to be looking after those children now? No way. Tell him. Have you gone to see the priest? Tell him. All the leprosy that was washed off for you this year. All the sins that were removed for you this year. All the ignorance that were washed off for your head this year. All the miracles that occurred in your life. All the protection that happened in your life this year. All the work that God did in your life this year. Have you gone to see the priest? Did you go to see him empty-handed? Ask him. Or did you offer the commanded offering as a testimony? Tell him, when you do that, you see your testimony. I believe you are getting the message. I'm not just talking for 2011. I'm talking that this is how you live your Christian life. Go show yourself to the priest. You cannot be an Abraham and be your own Melchizedek. You cannot. Don't care who you are. That's a prophetic word for somebody there. All those questions you are asking in your head. Can I say it a second time? You cannot be an Abraham and be your own Melchizedek. Eat the one that belongs to the Spirit. Add it to your own and eat. You will join them. So you can go there and be watching other people that are alive. You will join the spirits. You will join the ancestors. Everyone said the mystery of Thanksgiving. I don't have time to address it. Go
get some of those tips. Nothing finishes in the hands of a thanksgiver. If you come to your end, bring thanksgiving, and your end becomes your beginning again. If something goes well, at thanksgiving, the testimony will not stop, because it cannot be avoided. The good things will never cease. But if something has been going bad, bring thanksgiving and you can terminate that bad story. We don't only thank God for the good times, we also thank Him for the bad times. Not that we thank Him for the evil that happened, but we thank Him that in spite of it, He kept us. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? Because the God of the mountain is also the God of the what? The valley. Those are just part of life. That sometimes we pass through the valley. But my scripture said, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. You are with me. If God will go with me, I don't mind where we go to. Anywhere, as long as He's there, I will go. Why? Because I'm going to be coming out with greater testimonies, greater dimension than what I was before. That's why one scripture said, if you go through the fire, it will not consume you. If you go through the water, it will not overwhelm you. Today's language is, it will not drown you. You can't go under. For I, the Lord your God, am with you. Because you are precious in my sight. I love where he said, I've graven you upon the palms of my hand. Every one of you who have made it this year, you are here. You know you are alive. That is not your corpse they brought here. Lift your hands and just give God thanks. Just give him thanksgiving. A living dog is better than a dead lion. A living dog is better than a dead lion. You may not have all the money in your pocket, but you are still here. You may not have fulfilled all your dreams, but you are still here. Give him thanks. Give him praise. Give him thanks. Give him thanks. Then you go and see the priest. This year must not end like this. End the year the right way, so you can have a new year that is loaded with goodness. You know, the Thanksgiving this year in Lagos was a riot. It was Holy Ghost riot. The Thanksgiving we had in there, it was a riot. There was an invasion from the other world. When I gave and gave and I finished all the money, because I loaded cash, I didn't want to give God check. When I exhausted all of it, I entered my car and drove home and went and brought checks to start from where I stopped. By the time I traveled, got to where I was going, and heaven was opening and I was being shown mystery, I knew what happened that day on the altar. Go and find the tape. I hope the tape can help give a little experience of what's going on inside that place. The mystery of thanksgiving. Doors cannot close on a thanksgiver. No, never. Never. Nothing finishes in the hands of a thanksgiver. I learned that one from Jesus. 5,000 people to feed. Only 5 loaves and few fishes. He looked at the disciples and said, what is this among 5,000? He said, not when we bring the mystery of thanksgiving. So he took it, Bible said, and he gave thanks. You know what another person would have done? They would have been complaining. Father, can't you see? Like the Jews in the wilderness. We don't have anything to eat here. We're in the wilderness and I have all this. What are we going to do, Lord? They would be busy saying nonsense. He took it. Father, thank you. And so they broke their last. But when they started sharing it, they shared and shared. 5,000 people ate. Their stomachs were swelling. And there were 12 baskets to carry and put in the boat. 5 small breads, 12 baskets. Nothing finishes in the hands of a thanksgiver. If when you know it, when you say this is the end of your road, they say you have lost your job, that is your end, you go and do thanksgiving. And say, Lord, in the first place, how did I even get the job? Are you not the one?
you know, I started that journey with you. Thank you for the privilege of working in this company and all the things I have learned, because I have grown. I'm much wiser, the things I've learned here. Now, I know you have another place for me. Unveil it. There is nothing you meet that can be your last bus stop. Not if you understand the mystery of Thanksgiving. I've said it year after year. Thanksgiving is a yeast. Add it to anything, it causes the thing to swell. It causes it to multiply. Thanksgiving is a seed. The harvest of it is a raise, a promotion. That was why when Job suffered calamity, you know what he did? He went on his face and worshipped. What is the last thing you read in his last chapter? And Job had everything double. Everything was restored double. Some other people will suffer the same thing. That is their last. Then they carry the story. I used to be well, you know, there was a time when things were good. It was until government sacked us, until they did this bank downsizer. That story is what you will carry and be going. No, my friend, you can terminate your bad story and turn it back into a good one. Don't you know that when you're watching a movie that, you know, heats up your blood pressure because you think this guy is going to die, and then finally now, the celebration is usually hotter. Like when Nigeria was suffering, was it 4-1 or what? That World Cup, what was it? 4-0. 4-0 is hopeless. Was that the situation by the starting of the second half? 15 minutes to go. 4-1, 15 minutes to go. I don't know how those boys did that magic. Because even a great man of faith, that one can shake him. Check, say 15 minutes. Walking God. I saw them when they held that hand in a circle and prayed again. Was Pastor Taribo among them in those days? Or did he come out after? I don't know. I can't remember. Or was he not? Maybe it wasn't his group. I don't know. I can't remember how the details. Was he? It was his group. I love that guy, you know. Like that guy. Yeah. Not ashamed to carry the banner, even in the field of football, with the whole world watching. With his punk or dada hairstyle. I like it. I like the guy. You need to see. I saw him. Was he in Milan or somewhere? You need to see his steps with hot shoe. The guy is a power dresser, you know. I said, this pastor is serious. Because you have to package yourself according to the people you are called to. You don't come and look like me, you know, whatever. No. No. The footballers might not listen to him. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You know, if you are the one, you get Charlie Boy born again, you go and barb off that, he said. No, I won't barb it. Jesus will not. He will send him with that hair after the area boy. He used to be area father. You now make him maybe area father in Christ. Because sometimes we get born again, we now lose our cutting edge. You don't lose it. You just say, change from fisher of fish to fisher of what? Men. But keep fishing. I have to close this, but I've not even touched some of the key elements. But let me mention these two. Thanksgiving, you do it vertically. You also have to learn to do it what?
Yes.
You saw what I was doing with PCJ and PM. What happens to you when people thank you for goodwill you've shown them? You want, next time, you show them what? Another one. That's how it is. He said, you are Geo, you don't thank people. I'm sorry for you. Jesus said, when we return to heaven, those of us that have done well, like me, doing for him, he's going to tell us, well done.
good and what? And that's what I'm working for. That word, let to hear it. Once I hear it, I can faint in the floor of heaven, wake up. They can pour water on me, wake up, I'm fine. Eternity has started. You cannot reverse it again. You can't reverse it again. Because it means a crown is coming on my head. I'm getting a throne. I'm going to sit with him and reign forever. That's what I'm working for. That's what I'm working for. So, some of us worked in offices. You may not like what they're paying you, but if you are wise, if you understand the mystery of promotion, thanksgiving, you go find the centers of power. You find your manager, you find maybe your MD, you go to them. Ordinary Christmas card. Sometimes it's even the thought that even moves people more than. I made this portrait for you, sir. I really want to thank you for the way, because this thing, to me here, working here is like a school. It's like I'm attending another university. I have grown so much, I have learned so much. Guess what you have done? You open an account in your boss's heart. Where he sees, he thinks about the future of his company, he's thinking about his staff, the ones that are his assets. You are among them. It's not just the job skill. Is also what is called social skills. You have to learn this thing. There's a party. Everybody is busy in the party looking for, they have not given us gifts as staff, end of year party. You say you have something to say. You just use 1 minute and really express appreciation to your boss, whatever. That's why after a while, such people, they want to know, what kind of church does it? This girl is a different kind of Christian. Those are Christians I have here, only criticizing or complainers. And this is what you hear from believers. Murmurers, complainers. Because they carry a holier-than-thou attitude, they become judges of everybody else. But you are a grateful person. You are filled with gratitude. You are not yet where you are, who want to be, or what I pay you is still not. Next day, when they are doing the thing, you see, there's one man that was telling me about the downsizing that happened. He said, yes, this girl, oh, the girl doesn't even have eyes to dear. She cannot be removed from this company. They sacked somebody that had 3 positions ahead and carried her and put her there. And the boss said, you don't have the qualification, but I will send you for training. Are you ready to go for training? He said, I will pay for it. He said, yes. They pushed her abroad, sent her for all the stuff. She came back and took over the management of it. The man is my friend and was telling me, I said, why? He said, I've never seen a happy, radiant, and grateful person. Every little thing you do for her, she is so grateful. Now they've given her a jeep, giving her all kinds of things. Who wants a poisonous snake in your company? Polluting other staff's mind. Poisoning up the clean water of relationship in a company. Giving HR extra headache. Toxic staffs. And yet Sunday will carry Bible. He's in church. You think he's hearing anything? You are the light of the world. When you walk into a room, the place should be illuminated. Grateful people, you cannot imprison them. Is that not thanksgiving that Paul and Silas did in prison? In the midnight time, he said they prayed and sang praises to God. What happened? Prison door open. Nobody can lock you in if you know what thanksgiving is. It's a mystery. It's a mask. It's a key, a golden key that you can use to find your way in life. And when it comes to favor, it's one of the golden keys to favor. You just can't help but like such people. Sometimes you don't know why, but that is it. You are married, you appreciate your husband. Thank you for bringing food.
And with, you know, all the challenges, all the things you could be doing, even your extended family, you always bring money to look after us. He might be the stingy type, or that's whatever. Start thanking him for looking after you and the children. You know what will happen? All the money he makes will start coming home. It's a mystery, oh. I wish you could. I don't know who taught Pastor Sarah some of these things. That lady has finished me with, I don't know how she learned it. I don't know who taught her those things. Because sometimes when she finishes, you now start feeling stupid for the ones you are not doing. Then you now start making, you know. Nah, 200 naira. Every time you come and drop this 2,000 for us. In this modern time, can't you see yourself ahead? Can't you see yourself? See other men, what is happening in their houses? Madam, that's not the way. God's way is opposite the way of the world. One of the ways to end the year is learning how to repent. I'm telling you, when a year is ending, go to the court of heaven. There is a court that sits outside this universe. It sits in the third heaven. Go to the court and cancel every case that has been brought there against you. Both the ones people brought, the ones Satan brought. You know, Satan is an accuser. He's a lawyer that is always suing you before God, like he did to Job and others. The Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. He is busy monitoring anything you did wrong. Instead of letting the thing stay, he will carry it to heaven and go and sue. Let me tell you how serious this thing is. God came to Abraham's house in Genesis 18 and said, the cry of heaven is come up to me. You can even project it for them. But I read it in another translation. Do you know what he said? A lot of accusation has come against Sodom before me. The guy goes to Sodom and is corrupting the people to commit iniquity, sodomy. Then he goes to God and is telling God, you have to burn that city down. If you are still a just God, you must destroy them. Hear and hear well now. This is why the scripture said that he sought for a man to stand in the gap. Because what God is looking for is a lawyer, an intercessor is a lawyer that is coming to plead the case of somebody that is guilty. There are some cases that the people are not guilty anyway, but are being accused. And if nobody speaks for them, they can end up like the case of Job. Job didn't do anything. But he destroyed Job's family and destroyed his children. I know Thanksgiving can get you a second chance. What about preventing that destruction in the first place? He said accusations, heavy accusations, has come against the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah before me. Then he said, Abraham, because I'm very slow in releasing judgment, I decided to come down to go and verify for myself. This is the Almighty God, though. After studying that scripture one day, I saw that as a pastor, as a leader, we shouldn't be hasty to release the rod of judgment. We should not be hasty. You should do it under the highest level of restraint. When people have been given opportunity everywhere, but they don't want to. We should be more. God is 70% prone to saving life. And less than 30 prone to destroying it. When it comes to, because he knows, once he releases anger, there is no reverse. He knows, so he's always, that's why he's long-suffering. He's very forgiving. But sometimes people take it for granted. He says, Abraham, I've come to verify, first of all, so that we don't make one decision here, ask these angels to go and burn a city, and there are some innocent people. Then Abraham said,
He said, I took it upon myself to speak before the Lord God. Let me tell you what it was that was going on there. God came to Abraham to see if Abraham would become an intercessor for Sodom. The reason he actually came to Abraham is because he's looking for a man that will just stand before him, plead the case of this people and remove this judgment. That's the power of an intercessor. The people deserve to die, and they are really going to die. Something is going to go wrong. You go and block the place and say, Father, we have sinned. I join them in this thing. I take it. I'm in part of it. If you are going to destroy them, you are going to have to destroy all of us. And God will say, no, I cannot do that. They searched for 50 righteous people, they didn't find. 10 righteous people, they didn't find. 20, they didn't find. Abraham would have said, you said one person, but he didn't. He failed in that whatever, and the nation was destroyed, but he succeeded in saving his nephew Lot. God saw that the first time Sodom was destroyed, Abraham went and fought and saved them. They had been invaded by war. It was Abraham that rescued them. So he came to him again. The report are too much, but I don't want to. Do you remember what happened to the case of Jonah and Nineveh? If you get that, you understand what was going on here. Nineveh has committed, the thing has reached. God called the prophet Jonah and said, if somebody does not go and stand in, these guys are going to clear. This is court. Court has to be just. I need a lawyer to speak for these people. Jonah, that was hired as their lawyer, did not want them. He wants them to be punished because they have been fighting against the children of Israel. So he entered ship and took off the Tarshish. God shook up the whole place to let you know that God doesn't like judgment. The Bible says mercy triumphs over what? The Bible said it's not his will that any should perish. He's not like that. He's love. But he still has to do it because he's a just God. So you know what happened? He asked a fish to swallow Jonah. When Jonah repented in the belly of the fish, he commanded the fish to vomit him in his mission field. The guy went and declared, 40 days, the whole city will burn to ashes, like Sodom and Gomorrah, everywhere. The people heard it, everybody repented. They went in sackcloth and started crying, doing fasting. And God saw it. That was exactly what he needed in the court to show all the elders, you people that want judgment, see how your eyes are. Can you see these people now? Can't you see what they are doing? So let you know how serious God is when it comes to this. He got Ahab out of a whole Ahab. I thought Ahab is one person he should really. Ahab humbled himself. God said, he humiliated the prophecy of Elijah, at least temporarily, in order to get a man out of judgment with all the idol worship, Baal worship. Are you still here? I don't know. Are you getting anything at all? Is this important? Eh? This is one of the revelations that is my life saver. Because as God uses you and promotes you, you don't know what happens at heights. You have to have the things that still keep you. You know, when they say he that is down needs fear no fall, it's true. It's true. God saved Nineveh. Jonah got angry. He went to the desert, sat in the heat, said, kill me, I want to die today. God said, I won't be the one to kill you. If you want to die, kill yourself. You don't want me to do the killing. I won't kill you. I don't kill you. I'm talking about salvation. You preach so that people will be saved. You don't preach so that they will die. Jonah said, no. Is that not why I was running? You forced me to now come here and be doing this mission work. I didn't want to preach to them because I know you. You are merciful. Now they start crying. You don't go and forgive. How can you forgive these people? Intercessor that should be praying for people to be saved is trying to argue. Let them. So God raised a tree to grow over him so that heat will not kill the prophet. Overnight, the tree grew. When I saw that one, I said, okay. Some people say earth created in 6,000 years, some 6 days. Whichever one can be correct, God can do it in 6 seconds. Can also do it in 6,000. It depends on the process he wants to engage. If he's supernatural, he doesn't need 6,000 years. When he commands it, what will happen? It happens. Simple. But if he wants processes and systems, that's where he needs that one. So that human beings will have something to follow. Not because he can't do it. And Jonah started crying because God caused an east wind to strike that same plant and heat. And it died after 24 hours. So Jonah started crying. How can you allow this to die? Can't you see that I was enjoying this comfort? Can't you see that the heat is hitting me again? God said, So you are crying for ordinary tree that grew last night and you don't know how it came about. But 600,000 men who don't know their left from their right, even the animals in that nation, they didn't care about it. He wanted them to perish. He said, even me, not only that I care for those men, I care for the animals. That thing shook me that day. God cares about animals. If you're into agriculture, whatever. The dog that lives in your house, if you're a Christian, they should know that you're born again. If your dog or your goat cannot tell that you're born again, something is wrong, go. If the servants that work for you cannot tell that you're born again, you are made in your house. I learned that day. If animals that don't have spirit, they have soul, God cares about them. How much more human beings? I need to develop the heart that God has for people. That's what we talk about, passion for souls. But the key to ending well that you find in these principles is the principle of repentance. That even when the future is supposed to be bad, if you bring it, you turn the tide around. That is one of the ways to end a year. Receive forgiveness through repentance, acknowledging what has gone wrong, so that the sentences that are hanging in the spiritual world will be averted, so that the cases they've brought against you in the Supreme Court of the universe will be thrown out. And where a person is not able to bring it for himself, like you have family members, you have your father, you have your mother, you have all kinds of people, go there before God, you that is a believer, as an intercessor, and say, Lord, I plead their case. I don't care what has happened. I don't know what and what has done. I know you yourself. You want to save people. You don't want to destroy them. And I stand on your side. I bring the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross of Calvary to cry for mercy on their behalf. Father, forgive. And guess what? God does not only forgive because the person prayed with his mouth. He forgives because another person also prayed. I can show you many scriptures on that. It was Moses that said to the Lord, forgive the sins of these people and take us for your inheritance. But if you want to destroy them, then you have to destroy me too. That's an intercessor. And God said, I have pardoned according to your word. Not according to their word. And God kept walking with them and blessing them, even though. And then the Moses now started teaching them. So that's how you can carry your family through. That's how you can carry. I see some people here with sentences in the court against you. Tonight, as we're standing here, I command that judgment will be given to your favor. By the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on Calvary, I declare today that judgment will be given to your favor. So where Satan is expecting to obtain permission to go and destroy things that belong to you, judgment will be given. You will be given a double portion instead of. Father, I stand in my office as a prophet and as your servant, as a priest. Anyone here with a sentence of death hanging over their head, we command it to be reversed tonight. In the name.
name of Jesus Christ, every sentence of death is destroyed here tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, by the blood of the covenant, we redeem the people. We pull them out of the traps and the destruction that the enemy has laid on their paths. We declare, you will not live, die but live to declare the works of God. Say with me, I will not die but live to declare the works of God. I will not die but live to declare the works of God. Lift up your hands. Extend this covering over your family. Nobody in my family dies. Not father, not mother, not brother, not sister. I bring them under the stronghold by the blood of the Lamb of God. I bring them under the covering by the blood of the Lamb of God. I bring them under the shelter by the blood of the Lamb of God. Bring repentance for anything that has gone wrong in your life this year. I plead the blood of Jesus over my life, over the church, over the ministry, over all the pastors, over my family, over Pastor Sarah, over the children, over the extended family. I plead the blood of Jesus for mercy, for redemption, for cleansing. I plead the blood of Jesus for covering. Amen.
If you don't want to see your brother sin and sin, not only that you shall pray for him, you shall give him life. I want our people to understand that. This year we are stepping into, not just this year, this whole season, we have to equip you to function as a priest. 1 John chapter 5, you can project it, find that place. If you see your brother sin and sin, not only that, you can pray for him. I want to let you know why it is written. Even when the man himself. Verse 16. 5 verse 16. 1 John 5 verse 16. Project it. If any man see his brother, start writing to believers. Sin and sin, which is not unto death, he shall act and he shall give him life. For then that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I did not say you shall pray for that one. There is only one sin unto death. That's the only one your prayer cannot get. That one is called apostasy. It's outside our discussion today. That's when a mature believer that has been exposed to the truth, knows the truth very well,
gets up and turns his back on Jesus and denies Christ openly and puts to shame the cross that saved him. It is not a mature believer falling. You can help him back. That's not what they're talking about. Denying Christ. There are people. I've met a few of them. Apostasy is what the Bible calls it. And if you denied Christ, denied the sacrifice, you don't believe in all those crosses, you don't believe in that blood business. I used to believe in it. I don't believe in that blood of Jesus nonsense. People should stop talking that. Then, what is supposed to wash your sin? What is supposed to save you? Nothing else. There is no second death for sin. Jesus is not going to die again. That particular sin, he said. But any other, if all other sins are within the periphery of what he's talking about. You see a believer misbehaving. You as a priest, because you're also a priest, you can intercede on his behalf. And you don't only do it when people are misbehaving. You also intercede for one another. James chapter 5. Confess your fault one to another. Find it. Is that a verse 16 or 17 or whatever? Confess your fault one to another. Then what? Pray one for another that you may be healed. This is where the Catholic Church got the revelation of confession. That confession can be done to human beings because as in your capacity as a priest, you have right of intercession and absolution of sin. Jesus said, in whatever sin you remit is remitted. Whatever sin you retain is retained. You better believe it. In your capacity of as a priest, God has made you a priest. You have the right of absolution of sin. There is a movie I was watching. A pope committed adultery. Do you know what he did? He removed his robe as a pope. He said, I'm an ordinary believer. First of all, I'm an ordinary priest. And went to a priest who is not even a bishop. But he knows the man to be a righteous man. He said, I know this man. He said, in the days when I was growing, whenever he finished teaching me, my soul is so clean that even if the rapture occurs now, I know I'm going. He went to him. He said, and when the man saw, he said, you're holy. He said, don't call me that. I'm not here as a pope. I'm here as an ordinary. I have messed up. And I'm here to confess. I want you to pray for me because I know you, that you are standing in your priestly office. That's what the scripture is talking about here. Now, what the problem is that they left it only for ordained clergy. It's not only for ordained clergy. So, what I'm trying to show you now is that you have two priests. You have the high priest in heaven. You can learn how to relate with him and clean, unburden your soul of the burden of sin. But there are some people relating with Jesus, he looks very far to them. They are not able to do that. You go to your brother. This is what I'm struggling with. I did shack this whole year. Brethren didn't know, but now alcohol, I did shack this thing off. When I finish shacking, sometimes I put treble in my mouth to come to church. The people will not. I say, singer, I don't know what it is. Pray for me. You know why? Because apart from getting forgiveness, it is also to break the yoke of sin. Because sin binds people. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? No, Pentecostals, they don't like the idea of confession. So you throw away everything, whether it's good or bad. No, it's a very important thing. The day I went to pray for Zeke at his deathbed, I heard some things. Because he was in a coma for some time, but finally came out of it. That guy used to be born again when he was 14. He was in secondary school. Entered into covenant with God. He even wanted to be a priest, a pastor. He traveled abroad to study to be a minister. But finally caught up with this Africanism thing that was, you know, and came up with this vision for Africa. And he was doing well initially. Where he lost his faith is that he got abroad and saw white people oppressing blacks. And he compared it to what was going on back home. And said, if these people are the ones carrying Bible, and they are the ones doing this evil, then Christianity is not worth it. After all, it is white man's religion. Christianity is not white man's religion. He came to them the same way he came to us. But let's assume it's even, that let's assume he came to them first. It's not. You don't throw away your faith because you saw another believer misbehaving.
Neither do you throw away your faith because you saw a pastor who is misbehaving. The pastor did not die for you. The other believer did not die for you. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? You don't let another man send you to hell. You don't let another man who does not want to enter keep you out. You don't want to enter? Come out of my way. Me, I'm going in. Confess your fault. This translation said, one say your sins, one to another. Then the person who have heard the confession is to use the opportunity to pray. They're not telling you so you can start gossiping about another person. You never talk about what people tell you in privacy. You never share it with another human being. Never. That is betrayal in the covenant. It's like a priest. You never. If you see the amount of things we hear in this our office as pastors, we hear more than doctors. We hear more than lawyers. Remember? You don't say, but it's part of our responsibility. Now, the other scripture I read said, if you see your brother, that means sometimes you can observe that somebody is not living right. You intercede for it. Other times, it's because the person actually confided in you. Don't just hear it. You pray for it. And see the two things that will happen. Pray one for another. That what will happen? That you may be healed. Then the second part is effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man has great power and produces wonderful results. Why that Pope went to the priest that was living right? Because he knows that if the guy is committing with him, he can't help him. Both of them need help. That's why they used to have what they call the confessor. Say with me, with what I'm learning, I know how to end the last chapters of my life. I will not allow the devil to write the last word in my book. He will not write the last sentence in my destiny. Satan will never have the final say in my life. My life is not in the hand of Satan. My life is not in the hand of men. My life is in the hand of God. And my story will end with God's signature. Amen. Amen.
Have you been impacted by this message? Please share your experience with Pastor David Ogbueli. Email address dominionimagemedia@yahoo.com or call 01792-6879, 0803-435-7959, 0803-590-9900.